Observing the principles of religion, he gave full protection to the inhabitants of Jamadeva as if they were his own begotten sons. Wherefore, following the instruction of his father, Maharaj Priyavrata, Maharaj Anindra ruled the inhabitants of Jamadeva according to religious principles. These principles were exactly contrary to the modern principles of faithlessness. As clearly stated here, the king protected the citizens the way a father protects his begotten children. How he ruled the citizens is also described here. Dharma Vekshamana, strictly according to religious principles. It is the duty of the executive head of a state to see that the citizens strictly follow religious principles. The Vedic religious principles begin with Varnashram Dharma. The duties of the four varnas or ashrams. Dharma refers to principles given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The first principle of dharma or religion is to observe the duties of the four orders as enjoined by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. According to people's qualities and activities, society should be divided into Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras, and then again into Brahmacharis, Grihasthas, Vanaprasthas, and Sannyasis. These are religious principles, and it is the duty of the head of state to see that the citizens should follow them. He should not merely act officially, but act like a father who always is a well-wisher of his son. Such a father strictly observes whether his sons have performed their duties, and sometimes he also punishes them. Just contrary to the principles mentioned here, the presidents and other chief executives in the Asian Valley are simply tax collectors who do not care whether religious principles are observed. Indeed, the chief executives of the present day introduce all kinds of sinful activities, spiritually illicit sexual intoxication, animal killing, and gambling. These sinful activities are now very prominently manifested in India. Although 100 years ago these four principles of sinful life were strictly prohibited in the families of India, they have now been introduced into every Indian family, therefore they cannot follow religious principles. In contrast to the principles of the kings of old, the modern state is concerned only with propaganda for levying taxes and is no longer responsible for the spiritual welfare of the citizens. The state is now callous to religious principles. Srimad Bhagavatam predicts that in Kali Yuga the government will be entrusted with Dasyu Dharma, which means occupational duties of rogues and thieves. Modern heads of state are rogues and thieves who plunder the citizens instead of giving them protection. Rogues and thieves plunder without regard for law, but in the age of Kali, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, the lawmakers themselves plunder the citizens. The next prediction to be fulfilled, which is already coming to pass, is that because of the sinful activities of the citizens and government, rain will become increasingly scarce. Gradually there will be complete drought and no production of food grains. People will be reduced to eating flesh and seeds, and many good spiritually inclined people will have to forsake their homes because they will not be too harassed by drought, taxation, and famine. The Krishna consciousness movement is the only hope to save the world from such devastation. It is the most scientifically authorized movement for the actual welfare of the whole human society. Translation, Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued, after his father, Maharaj Priyavrata, departed to follow the path of spiritual life by undergoing austerities, King Gajendra completely obeyed his order, strictly observing the principles of religion, he gave full protection to the inhabitants of Jambudvip as if they were his own sons. So just as Priyavrata took up the duty of ruling over the world, even though he didn't want to because he was a great devotee, still he did that, which occupied a lot of his time, but nevertheless he remained a devotee of the Lord. Following in his footsteps, Maharaja Yudhishthira, his son, also ruled over the kingdom and said here, of course, he followed the path of Dharma. And he protected the citizens as if they were his own children. From this we understand that just as Priyavrata did everything nicely according to Dharma, so his son also did this. So that was the last duty of Priyavrata, to make sure a qualified leader was the king. And of course we see here the next king is the son. And without the son taking charge, there's no question of having a good government. Later we will see that it happened that it was unqualified son, that is King Vena. So bad that they had to be killed. And then there was no line of sons after that, so there was no king. Until the sages produced from the body of Vena Prithu Maharaj. So in this way, he did have a son, but it was artificially produced by a Brahmana. So in this way, the line continued. So in the Bhagavad, we will see that the lines of kings or sons are described. And it is these persons who are the implementers of Dharma. And they are considered to be empowered by the Supreme Lord. They are vibhutis of the Lord, which means specially empowered jivas, who are given certain powers by the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Princess Devatas have certain powers, or great sages have certain powers. So similarly, Manu and his descendants also have certain powers. So they're not ordinary human beings. So it is these persons who actually implement the system of Dharma and Varnashram, etc., in the material world. It is not simply one chooses randomly someone out of the population and he becomes the king. The kings have a definite line of from previous kings going back to the Manu. So there are 14 Manus in one day of Brahma. And then those Manus start lines of kings for 71 Yuga cycles. Unfortunately, in Kali Yuga, the line of kings disappears. And then it has to be established again in Satya Yuga. At least in this particular Yuga, the whole line is seems to have died. But it was previously mentioned in the last chapter that the last descendant is still alive in the Himalayas and will manifest again in the next Satya Yuga. So that indicates that it's rather difficult to implement a complete system of the Dharma in Kali Yuga because the king isn't there. And therefore, consequently, the population must suffer because there's no one to protect them. If we do not have that king in power to implement Dharma, then it is very difficult to establish a proper system. So we can establish various political systems for government, but unfortunately, the person may be highly qualified in some cases, but they will not have a complete understanding. In other words, they won't have an acceptance of the Supreme Lord and how the Supreme Lord is related to the operation of the material world. So therefore, no matter how materially qualified they are, something is missing from their rulership. And therefore, this will create a problem in ruling. Of course, we also see that the qualification of the king is that he must have the qualities of a kshatriya, that is, the ability to rule, but also the ability to be somewhat detached. And that we'll see in all these kings. They did not want to rule forever. In fact, Priyavrata didn't want to rule at all. He did it as a duty. And we see it at a certain age that he retired. Very cheerfully he retired when someone else could do the duty. And so he was not interested in wealth and power. He was not contaminated by it. So therefore, the real king has to do this. Technically, the king is influenced by Rajagun and Sattvagun, but if he's completely Rajagun or Rajo and Tamagun, then he will exploit the situation for his own profit. He will become greedy and attached to material enjoyment. So this is a great problem. He will ultimately exploit the society for his own benefit, and the population will suffer. So, therefore, that training to have a proper person is very, very necessary. And the genealogy of kings is necessary for maintaining that system properly on a large scale. Once that falls apart, it is very difficult to practice. So the Bhagavatam actually narrates how the system remained intact by the inheritance from one king to the next. Here we see Priyavrata raised his sons, and he had a qualified son. He put that son on the throne, and he was able to rule nicely with principles of Dharma. And therefore, the citizens were very, very happy. So, as we know, Dharma is not everything. We have Artha, Dharma, Kama, and Moksha. And Dharma is inferior to Moksha. The Moksha is inferior to Bhakti and Prema. So, the emphasis here is upon protection of the citizens. All of the citizens are not great devotees of the Lord. They are interested in living in the material world. So so for the general population, we have this system of dharma. At least they should follow the principles of dharma, and therefore the king must be, have this dharma. However, above that we have bhakti. So we know that these kings also were great devotees of the Lord. So, along with their occupation of dharma, they also were great devotees of the Lord. So this, of course, is the more important. So this takes prominence in Kali Yuga, where the system of dharma falls apart. Yes, the population is unprotected, it is suffering. And it's very difficult to implement dharma. It will keep on being destroyed. As Kali Yuga progresses, less dharma, less dharma, less dharma. We see the example of the bull with one leg, standing on one leg, and the Kali personified is attacking and chopping up that leg also. So therefore dharma by nature will be, by the nature of time in Kali Yuga, dharma will gradually be destroyed. So, what to do? In any case, bhakti is not affected. Of course, if there is dharma, it's easier to practice bhakti. But as I said previously, King Priyavrata was not attracted to any type of enjoyment in the heavenly planets or an earthly planet or even hellish kingdoms. And therefore, bhakti will survive even if we don't have the prosperity of a state ruled by dharma. Bhakti can go on in spite of that. So bhakti is independent of all of these things. So that is the saving grace of Kali Yuga. Though dharma gets destroyed, that doesn't mean bhakti gets destroyed. No. Bhakti is rare, definitely. But it is also the practice which continues in spite of all obstacles. So, therefore, bhakti can continue in any case, whether there's dharma or non-dharma. So that is the meaning of saying that Lord Chaitanya says that varnashram is external. Bhakti does not need the external means. It survives in spite of all external conditions. If the conditions are bad or the conditions are good, it doesn't matter. Bhakti is something internal. And therefore it survives in every case. So, bhakti is rare, but nevertheless, it must be practiced. It is the saving grace of Kali Yuga. So, the means by which bhakti becomes common or public for all the people, because there's no dharma left to help the people, the means is Nam-Sankirtan, chanting the name of the Supreme Lord Krishna. So by chanting the name of the Lord, the population at large can get the advantage of everything. We don't have dharma or anything, but by practicing bhakti, bhakti gives everything that dharma has. It gives everything, artha, dharma, kama, moksha, are included in bhakti. So if we do bhakti then, still, we get enough to sustain ourselves. That is the whole purpose of dharma. A person develops all good qualities. A person gets free from material bondage and gets liberated. All of these things are included within bhakti itself. By practicing bhakti in the form of chanting the holy name of the Lord, then a person in Kali Yuga becomes successful in spite of all of the difficulties of in the material world and the political system, whatever. Well, as I said, a lot of people are not directly qualified for bhakti because they are interested in simply surviving in the material world. We'll see that in any society. Mercy of the holy name in Kali Yuga. So, in Kali Yuga, the holy name can be spread everywhere, and they don't need qualification. and this can be the beginning of the process for them. Yeah. In other words, artha, dharma, kama, moksha. Artha means material things. Yes. If one does bhakti, one can get material things. Dhruva got a whole kingdom by the mercy of the Supreme Lord. His desire, kama, was fulfilled. I want a kingdom greater than my father's. And the Lord can fulfill all of that. Dharma, principle, ultimate dharma is bhakti. It is the highest dharma, paradharma. So we do bhakti that is superior to all the other dharmas. Moksha, if we develop prema, we go beyond moksha. So all of the things are included within the process of bhakti. But the devotee, of course, is not interested in moksha or material objects, artha or kama, because they will act as an obstacle to his progress. That's the gradual system for the general people in general. If it's a varnashram system, they can progress from sudra all the way up to brahman, then they can become devotees. But that's a gradual system, not practical in Kali Yuga because there is no dharma left. So only do bhakti in Kali Yuga. No, it's in the Bhumandala. The different oceans are around circle. They're in circular shape. Jungle deep in the middle, and then there's a ocean, saltwater ocean. Then there's an island around that in the shape of a ring. Then there's an ocean. And there's like a milk ocean, a ghee ocean, a yogurt ocean, a sugarcane juice ocean, a freshwater ocean like that. Different oceans are there. These are the oceans. They're on the Bhumandala. He did it with the wheels of his chariot. Possible because he was a great king. He had special powers. He ruled for millions of years. He's not an ordinary person.
And also he created this night.
Day and night. Well, he altered that because he was not satisfied with the way the sun was giving day and night. So he altered that by making, following the sun on his chariot.
Maharaj, in this one, we very strongly say that, you know, the caste and the heredity is not really important. People born in different families.
Yeah.
Actually, Varnashram is based on Mura and Karma.
Yeah.
But we see that in previous ages it was very strictly because the heredity was very important.
Yeah.
It means that they became, really became like castes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
when there is purity of samskaras, etc., and non-mixture of castes, then the tendency is that they have the critical qualities. We see, however, that the sons of Bharat, for instance, some became kshatriyas and some became brahmanas. Most became kshatriyas, but a few became sages, so they became brahminical. So it's not an absolute thing, but generally the tendency is there that the sons will inherit the same qualities. So if the family is pure and follows pure conduct, then that likelihood is much more. In Kali Yuga it is much less, so therefore it's unpredictable what happens to the good qualities the children develop.
Also,
the
place where
devotees
stay is also affected. The indication that the environment.
That's there. There are many factors. So along with the birth, of course, then the proper education, environment, all those things are also necessary. So that was taken care of in the Varnashram system by the fact that the children became brahmacharis and they were raised in the gurukul for so many years, especially if they're brahmins or vaishyas or kshatriyas. So they got proper treatment there, proper training. So it's not only birth, obviously, the system itself takes care of the cultivating the proper qualities as well.
Hare Krishna. Today, our Sridhar Gopal's family is with us, his sister, mother, father, and everyone of Chennai knows Sridhar Gopal. He's one of our dear friend and devotee. He was a full-time devotee in Chennai for very many years, and he also served the Mayapur Dham, and he has become very dear to Mayapur and Chennai devotees, and he is dear to us, he's also dear. We are also dear to him. So today, his family has come down from Dindigul to give us a grand morning prasadam for his kind devotees. And also they have arranged for a talk at different deities and Srila Prabhupada altar. And they also have given us a lot of steel buckets and spoons for prasadam serving. They would like serving his kind temple Chennai in a very grand manner. So our Bhanu Swami Maharaj is going to honor them by giving them, presenting them with some deity garlands. I request Amada Mataji, your mother, father, come to Mahalan and accept the garland, please. Thank you very much, Amada Pranthana Mataji. And there's a photograph you can get near Srila Prabhupada. Somebody want to give him Patanjali for our dear friend kindly and do that. Please, welcome. I guess now, devotees are just to stand back in Denver Hall. We are going to have some small glorification for Sri Ramadhyaya Prabhu. And Narada Prabhu announced about the Guru Maharaj arrival program.
Hare Krishna, since we are having a busy day today, we announce Nagasaki to be answered. This year, we are all be sitting here for the next half an hour to have Smriti Sabha. Smriti Sabha now. When Bukhuri is a Vaishnava, he is another one of them. Our Matabhaka is every other buying there. Our Matabhaka is every other buying there. Our Matabhaka is every
other buying
there. Our Matabhaka
is every other buying there.
This photograph is a very happy. But today is a big feast. A lot of people are happy.